Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hello, busy mamas. Welcome to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. Today, I have a fabulous guest with us. Her name is Megan Flatt, and I'm just going to read a little bit of her official bio and then tell you how I know this wonderful lady. So Megan Flatt is a business growth strategist. She is committed to showing mama CEOs it's possible to build a thriving business while staying present for the other things that matter in our lives, like our little interns. All it takes is a strategy, an action plan, and the support to get there. You'll almost always find a stash of post-it notes in her bag, a latte in her hand, and at least one Lego figurine in her pocket. If you're ready to get your next big idea into the world while keeping your sanity as a mom, download her free guide, Launch Like a Mother. And we'll share that link and post it in the show notes, but it is meganflatt.com/launch. So I'm not even sure how Megan initially came into my life. I feel like we did a business program at some point that we were both in. And then a year or so ago, or a little over a year, thank goodness now, I broke my wrist and had to get surgery. And it was the winter, and I remember that we had planned this ski trip for our family, and, you know, whatever, I would have liked to have skied with my family, but I ended up having this, like, amazing day in the ski lodge while they were all skiing, and I had somehow decided I would download her Post-it program, so I was sitting in the ski lodge with all these Post-its everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was, like, my first Megan moment, and since then, we've worked together more. So welcome, Megan, to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I love that story. I always say when I have my Post-it notes out, I feel a little bit like the movie A Beautiful Mind, where I sometimes, especially like if I'm in public or I'm at my co-working space, I've done post-it notes at the library. Like sometimes I feel like people must be looking at me like I might be schizophrenic or something like that.
So I'm so excited to have you today. And for everyone who's listening, so I asked Megan here today because she is so super organized, and I think that whether we're a CEO or not, there's so much to learn from her. So we're gonna go between sort of things that might be feel a little bit more specifically toward a mama CEO and more just that anybody would have. But what I would like to share is that I think even if we're stay-at-home moms or we work in an office, we're all sort of the CEOs of our life. So take that into consideration as you hear everything that we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have quite a few clients that aren't moms, even though I gear towards moms because I think it's something that we can relate to, especially just busy women. You know, yeah. I think it's just whether you're a mom, whether you're not a mom, whether you're a business owner, whether you're not a business owner. You know, we know, like, moms and women, we're running the world, you know, to quote a little Beyonce there, but like we are in charge of so much. We're in charge of the future, I really feel. And so whatever I can do to help moms and help women feel more in control and like they can find that balance or that flow between all of the different hats they wear. It doesn't really matter if they're doing it to bring in an income or not. It all, you know, like you said, we're all the CEOs of our households.
Yeah, totally. So I want to get into some of the details of your work eventually, because to me, that's where a lot of the gold for our listeners is going to be. But let's start a little bit at the higher level. And just this whole notion of balance to begin with, which I don't even know that I love that word. But just this idea that there sometimes feels like there's so many balls in the air.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of create a life that, you know, doesn't have you holding one ball all the time? Because that doesn't really work out for us. So let's talk a little bit of, tell us what you think about that. And you just have such a gift for sort of really bringing focus to a day so you can fit in all the things that you want to.
Yeah, well, first of all, I love that you just brought up this idea of having all the balls in the air. And so I'm going to, because I actually use a really similar analogy. So okay. I'm going to talk about that. I mean, that's perfect. But I do, you know, you said, oh, I don't really love the word balance. And I don't actually either. And it's, you know, very societal for us to say, oh, work-life balance. But I think we probably can all agree that there's really no work-life balance. And my friend Val Geisler, who is also kind of a systems expert, and she talks about her daughter just turned two, so she's right in the throes of this with us. And she talks about it being, she likes to call it work-life flow, and I really like that too because, it's hard to be present with everything you need to do all at the same time. I mean, hard, if not impossible. And so I think it's really more about finding a way that your life can flow between all of those different responsibilities, rather than feeling like they all have to be balanced. And that's exactly this kind of circus analogy that I love to use. So you were talking about having all the balls in the air, and that is like a juggler. And so often we use that word like, oh, I'm juggling so much, or I've got so many balls in the air. And if you think about being at the circus and you think about that literal juggler, and I don't know how to juggle, but I'm just going to pretend here. The juggler has to keep her eyes on every single ball that she's juggling at the same time. And she has to touch each ball rhythmically. And she has to keep them going all together in exactly the same pattern, exactly the same rhythm. And if she takes her eyes off one ball, or if she drops one ball, a lot of times that's when they all come crashing down. Or if she decides she has too many balls that she's juggling at one time, it's really hard to cut those down and still keep the other ones going.
Yeah.
But if you think about the plate spinner at the circus, the plate spinner is able to get a plate spinning and give it focused attention and devote some time and energy to get it spinning. And then it can actually spin on its own for a while she spins another plate. And then when that one gets spinning, she can start spinning another plate. And then if she notices one of the plates is starting to slow down, she can go back to that plate and give it a little more attention. And if she decides there's too many plates spinning at once, she can take one plate off and set it back down on the table without the rest of them coming crashing down. So
wow,
I
love that.
Right? So yeah. I always say to moms, we want to be plate spinners, not jugglers. Still a very acrobatic, still part of the circus that sometimes feels like our life, but we're in a lot more control. And that's really how I like to approach that work life. Again, I feel like work life balance is what the juggler has to do, where they have to keep everything going rhythmically, putting the exact same amount of energy into each ball the whole time. That work-life flow is that plate spinner where I can decide, hey, it's the weekend, it's Saturday, today's a family day, I'm going to put energy into spinning my family plate. And then now it's Monday morning, I'm going to get my kids off to school, I'm going to get my husband to work, and now it's a CEO day. You know, I actually call Mondays my CEO day. Like today is the day to spin my work plate, and it's my longest day. I plan it intentionally. My kids have after school programs on Monday. It's intentionally my longest day because we've just come off a weekend. We've just had lots of good family time. Now it's time for me to focus on business. And when I think, and I don't always do it perfect. That's certainly, you said, oh, she's so organized. I was like, oh my gosh, if you could see my living room right now, it looks like a bomb exploded. But so I certainly don't always do it perfect, but I find that if I can keep that mindset about, okay, which plate do I need to spin today or this hour? You know, it doesn't even have to be a whole day. Maybe it's like, okay, for this hour, I'm going to play, my son is learning how to play chess. So maybe it's like, okay, for this hour, we're going to play chess together. And then I'm going to let him go watch cartoons while I, you know, clean up the kitchen. Like it's just deciding which plate you're going to spin at any given moment. And then also knowing that you're going to have time to spin another plate later on.
Yeah. Well, and let's talk about that idea of choice for a second, because I love that you just said that. So, and actually I've noticed this a lot in you describing sort of your days. And will you just tell us how old your kids are real fast?
My kids are five. My daughter is five. And so she's still in preschool. She just had her fifth birthday. She'll be starting kindergarten in the fall. Yep. And then my son is almost eight. He'll be eight this summer. And then he'll go into third grade in the fall.
Yeah. And so I love that. And that's great ages. It's like my favorite ages.
Yeah, it's fun.
And that will make sense with what I remember. I just wanted to make sure I remembered the right thing. But so the idea of choice, and I feel like a lot of times it's pretty easy with all these plate spinning to get in sort of a victim mode, or not even so strongly, just like feeling that it's out of your control. And so I love the idea, like, I mean, I love the idea that like weekends might be family time and Monday might be a full work day, but we both know that, like, you know, obviously that doesn't always happen so perfectly every time we
Totally.
try. And so I remember you like mapping out one of your days once and explaining how like you really have a cho like you've made a choice that you wanted to go help in your kids' preschool. Is that true? Right? You
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
and so like how you sort of, and that you like fit that in and made a choice that then the work is going to happen around that. And I love that. And I feel like if we really stretch ourselves, you know, we can make those things happen. Like if we really use our imagination, we can make those things happen. And right now in my life, I'm noticing my kids, two of my kids are a bit older, so not that much, but fourth grade and sixth grade. And first grade, and the fourth and the sixth graders, those moms who are now who took time off to be at home, which is amazing, and now we're finding, like, you know, by sixth grade your kids don't always want to be with you. And so then all of a sudden, like, you have to find something to do. And I think it works both ways. Like, you know, it might be that you found you had a lot more time to be at school and do these types of things, and you didn't necessarily feel that you could go out and work. So I feel like it's just like sort of understanding that there are all these plates, and that we have some control over them. So I just love that. I don't even know that I have a question in that, but I just love that idea that we're in control of these situations and can really schedule them into our lives.
Totally. And I think, you know, we'll kill this plate spinner analogy by the end of this interview, but I think,
Totally.
you know, but I think it's that same thing. And I think one of the things when I work with my business clients, one of the very first things that I have them do is we talk about what their values are and, you know, what's important to you. And because not the same things aren't important to everyone and the same things aren't important to you at the exact same time in your life. And different things shift in and out as your kids are younger or older, or as you're at different stages in your life and in what you need. And again, it's like that plate spinning. It's like you might put a lot of energy into, you know, when your kids are babies and they need you all the time, you know? And so you're putting a lot of energy into that kid plate. And then like we're experiencing, and I'm about ready to have both my kids in elementary school at the same school on a similar schedule, you know, so that's going to be a different,
Yay.
right? Oh my gosh. I feel like I can't wait. Even, and it's all those other things too. Like, 'cause right now they're at two separate schools in two separate school districts. So we don't even always match up with, you know, with breaks and, you know,
Oh,
and sort of
wow.
things like that. So I'm really looking forward to that, but that's a tangent. But you know, it's like you get to decide what's important to you. And sometimes that can be a little guilt producing because you are really in control. And I think sometimes it's easier on our conscience to say that we're not in control of it, because then it's like, oh, well, you know, and I know we're going to talk about healthy eating and things like that. Or for me, it's been my own exercise. And that's been something that I haven't been as focused on, but like, let's get honest, like that is a choice, you know, that's a choice that I've made. And I've, you know, and now I'm shifting that. Like, I feel like I've really spun my business plate for a long time, and I've spun the family plate, and now it's time to spin, you know, spin my plate a little bit and really focus on what I need to do to take care of myself. And yeah. And sometimes that's a hard, conversation to have with ourselves. Like, yeah, you're in control. And yeah, there's always going to be extra circumstances, but even within those circumstances, you still get to make a choice.
I love that. What exercises are you doing? What's your favorite thing right now as you shift back into this?
Well, so I love yoga. I'm a
Oh,
huge, and
good.
so
Me
my
too.
background is actually in fitness, which is why it's kind of embarrassing that I've
Really?
let
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where my business consulting started. Is that it was actually I was a personal trainer and an entrepreneur, and I was doing a lot of fitness business consulting. And that was actually where, and then I branched out when I wanted to bring my own business online, then that's where I branched out to doing more general fitness or general business consulting. But yeah, my background is in fitness, which is always why it's embarrassing. Like, oh my gosh, I just did a Pilates class for the first time in years. I had won it, not won, you know, I bid on it at a yep. school auction. And, so I went to it on just this last Thursday and man, I am still sore, but boy, it felt so good. It felt so good. And then the other thing, my new fitness goal, I tried to show my kids that I could still do a cartwheel.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so I can still do a cartwheel. I can't walk anymore, but I could still do the cartwheel. So that's my new fitness goal, is to be able to do, I'm almost 40. I want to be able to do a cartwheel without hurting myself.
I love that. And I love making fitness sort of like fun and experimental. It's just, I think it's the best way. And, you know, I feel like we all go in and out of, you know, having a routine around it, and then, you know, someone gets sick and it throws us out of, you know, a child gets sick and it throws us out of our routine. It's a very easy thing to come in and out of as a mom.
Well, and it comes right back to what you were just saying about a choice. And that's something that I've had to come to terms with, because when I, you know, pre-kid, when I was working full-time as a personal trainer, I was also riding my bike. I was training for century rides, and I had done the California AIDS ride multiple times. And so, and I loved yoga. And so for me, a workout, a yoga class was an hour and a half. A bike ride was 5 or 6 hours on the weekend. And so it really has been a mental shift. Just yesterday morning, I was ready for my morning coffee, and I went, you know what? I'm going to walk to get my coffee. And I put on my headphones and I put on a podcast and I walked to get coffee, got my coffee and walked home. And it was, you know, a 15-minute neighborhood walk, but it was a shift in my mindset about being active and moving and fitting it into my day. Because that's how it was going to fit in yesterday, or it wasn't going to happen.
For busy moms, like my favorite thing, well, my favorite practice, and now I like tell the whole world about it, is to walk out the door in the morning, like before I start my day, with a podcast, because I love podcasts, and just like walk for 20 minutes. And it just gets you in this whole other space by the time you're ready to start.
Well, and don't you find too, it like, yeah, not only do I find that it kind of clears my head and gets me ready for the day, but I find that those little health choices snowball.
Oh, totally.
So if you do a 10 or a 15 or a 20 minute walk in the morning, then you're probably more likely to have, you know, a healthy breakfast rather than skip breakfast, or then you kind of make these better choices throughout the day.
Yeah, totally. And it helps with hydration, which is a huge one that we forget to do. And it helps with sleep, which is something we take for granted. So yeah, it's a win-win. Something else I'm doing right now is just trying to, every week I challenge myself to do something like new and fun.
Oh, so I love that.
As we're recording this, I'm on vacation with my husband, and I was walking down the street the other day, and there was a surfboard studio. Have you ever seen that? And I was like, oh my God, that looks so cool. So I went and took this class and practically fell flat on my face. But anyway, I'm still sore. Felt really good. And it felt really good to like just do something so different than I'm used to.
I just wrote that down. I'm going to try it too. I'm going to try to do something new and fun every week.
So that's great. So assuming that people are getting clear on their values, which I teach that as the first step too, is just really understanding what it is that you want out of life, and, you know, and really mapping, you know, you're mapping work, and I'm mapping sort of food and fitness to that and family. Yeah. So assuming that everybody gets on board with that somehow, which both of us can help you do that if you need it, then moving into sort of scheduling that into your life, let's talk a little bit about that. Cause so two things I'd love to touch on is I'd love to walk through, a post-it sort of situation.
Sure.
And how we can plan something. And actually I was thinking we could talk through sort of a work thing, but we could also talk through like a birthday party or something.
Absolutely.
And just how you sort of think through that. And then just sort of the day to day, because one of the things I love about your work is sort of going from a big view of time into what you're doing today. So
Yep.
whichever place you want to start at, let's touch on those two things.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's start with kind of the calendaring and the schedule. And
Okay.
because this is really one of the things I talk about with my business clients, my mama CEOs, is you can't compartmentalize your life isn't compartmentalized, so you really can't compartmentalize your schedule. So whether we're talking about moms that are running businesses or moms that aren't, it's exactly the same because we are one person, we have one life. And yes, I set aside time for different things, and that's what we're going to talk about, but it still all applies to everyone. So one of the things that I really recommend people do is create what I call a weekly workflow. Other people call it a model calendar or just a shell or a framework or whatever it is, to your week. And people instantly put up, especially moms when they have young kids or they've got lots of different things going on, they instantly kind of, that doesn't work for me. I never know how long my kid's gonna nap, or I never know. As soon as I plan something, then someone's home from school sick. We're gonna talk about all that. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking that, just go with me, trust me on this. And stick with me for a minute. So what I like to do, it's the classic kind of if you're not in control of your schedule or if you're not in control of your calendar, then it's in control of you. And so it's really about taking your week, taking an average week for you, and starting to kind of compartmentalize the things because this is what happens. This is the scenario that happens to me. It happens, I'm sure it happens to you. It happens to, everyone is we've got these mile-long to-do list. There's 47 things on the to-do list, and we get our kid down for a nap or, off to school or whatever our situation is, or they're just settled in front of a cartoon for 15 minutes, and we look at this list and we've got 47 things to do. And then, at the end of the hour and a half nap or whatever it is, we haven't done 47 things, and we feel like a failure. We feel like we're not productive. We feel like we don't manage our time well. We feel like we don't understand time management, and we kind of beat ourselves up. But the truth is that you're just not realistic with looking at, you can't do, no one can do those 47 things in an hour and a half nap time. So it's about getting really realistic and really clear with what you can do in that amount of time. So when I have my to-do list, one of the things that I like to do is I also jot down next to it about how long I think it's going to take me. And then when I know that I have an hour and a half, or I have, 3 hours during, a preschool morning, then I can choose what I'm going to do based on how much time I have. And then if something gets derailed, if a kid is home from school sick, if, there's an emergency or there's, something else just comes up, then instead of looking at your to-do list being like, oh my gosh, I have 47 things to do and I'm not going to get anything done. You're just looking at, oh no, I had planned to do these three things. So now I can, it's like a giant game of Tetris. It's like, now, okay, these were the three things that I was going to do during nap time. My baby didn't nap as long as I thought I was going to, as long as I thought he was going to nap. So we're going to move these things into another time slot. And it just gives you a much more realistic view of your schedule. And to take it even one step further, I said about the kind of the model calendar or the weekly workflow. What I like to do is I like to think about all the things I do in my week on a somewhat recurring basis. And this is for my business and for my personal, or my, what I call my home life. So I always have to write a blog post. I always have to go grocery shopping. I always have to put gas in my car. I always have to check in with my clients. Like, I make a big brainstorm and I use Post-it notes. So I Post-it note out everything that I do on a recurring basis. And what I found is the reason I love to use Post-it notes is because you can move them around and you can move them into different groups and organize them different ways. So once I brainstorm on Post-it notes all the things that I do in my week, I was able to start moving them around into different groups. And I call them buckets. So I might have an errand bucket, for the different errands that we have to run, or I might have a home chore bucket for the things that need to happen around the house. I do, like you said, my daughter's at a co-op preschool, so it's very hands-on. So I do a lot of volunteering for my kids' schools. That gets its own bucket. And then on the business side, I have client work that gets a bucket, and content creation gets a bucket. And then what I'm able to do is I'm able to look at my week as a whole and start to schedule different days and different chunks of days for those different buckets. So I try to run all my errands on Friday. And so that saves me time. It keeps me from having to run out multiple times during the day or, get stuck with parking. I'm able, if I need an errand, I write it on my list, I keep it on my calendar, and then when I go run those errands on Friday, I can just go boom, 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 boom. I can go all the places I need to go. It helps, it makes sure that I'm planning ahead so that we don't run out of toilet paper before Friday or, whatever it's going to be. And then the same thing with, with business or with different projects. I do all of my school, kind of the volunteer work that I need to be sitting in front of my computer for. I do that on Wednesdays after the kids go to bed. And that helps me just create some really nice boundaries too. And then I do all my, like I said, Mondays are kind of my CEO day. That's where I do a lot of planning for my business. I do a lot of the high level stuff on Mondays. On Tuesdays, I see clients. And I try to structure my whole week like that. And I always say, though, it's not about being a robot. It's not about like, oh, it's 9 a.m. I have to do this. But it's about having this framework so that you can start to plug the other things that are important and not stress about it. And so if a girlfriend wants to get together for lunch, instead of just saying, oh yeah, when's good for you? And then she picks a day where it's really not super convenient for me and it's right in the middle of my day. Now I'm able to know on my schedule, hey, like Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays are really my big work days. That's where I really like to stay focused on work. So if I can meet with a friend, I try to do it on Wednesday or Friday. And then back to what you said about choices, if that doesn't work for them, then I get to really make a conscious choice. Okay, she wants to meet on Monday. That means it's going to cut into my business planning day. And then I'm able to really make a decision about like, does this make sense? Does it not make sense? I can go back to my values. I can go back to what I'm focusing on and say, you know what? I haven't seen this friend in a long time. This is really important to me. I'm going to do that on Monday, and then I can make a shift somewhere else in the week.
And do you look at this, so right now when everyone's listening to this, it's going to be, May, and we're all sort of thinking about the time when our kids are getting out of school and all of a sudden, there's definitely so much freedom that comes with summer, but that has its good and its bad things if we're trying to get stuff done, right? So do you re sort of shift this as the seasons are changing? Like, how does that work for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I had this happen, I guess it was 2 summers ago. Preschool is kind of year round, but then once my kids were out of the schools where they were actually, then they were into schools where they were actually having summer breaks, I had to look at it a little differently. So kind of a twofold answer to your question. I redo, again, I call it my weekly workflow. I redo that. Probably every 3 months, we'll probably talk a little bit about kind of planning in 90-day chunks, but I find that every 90 days or every 3 months, our lives and our schedules and my own business and what I'm working on shifts a little bit. So, we've moved from, soccer practice on Wednesdays to baseball practice on Mondays. So then that kind of shifts my schedule. So about every 3 months, I'm looking at that overview, or I decide to do something different in my business and I want to set aside specific time for it. Or like I just said, like I want to start taking a Pilates class. So now I'm going to shift my schedule so that I have that planned in.
And I think that's so important because I feel like so much time, I know like in the moments when I haven't thought through that, and I know you had this kind of summer a few summers ago, like I feel like you get so taken off track that you lose a lot of time, you just lose a lot of time, not necessarily in the business, just, trying to reconfigure it all and being worried about what can't happen or what is happening or whatever it happens to be. So I love that tip of just, having a week with a structure, but knowing that that will change from time to time.
And I use the analogy with moms is that we are kind of our own, the Cinderella, I call it the Cinderella analogy. And we are our own evil stepmother in the Cinderella story. Because I feel like what moms do to themselves is we say, I can do whatever I want after I finish all my chores, right? The evil stepmother said, you can go to the ball, but you have to finish this unreasonable amount of household chores before you can go to the ball. And then when Cinderella didn't finish the chores, it wasn't the stepmother's fault. It was her fault. The stepmother said she could go, but Cinderella wasn't productive. She didn't manage her time, all the things that we tell ourselves. And And so I really think that we've got to shift out of that. We've got to shift out of that mode where we put, you know, we're realistic with what we can get done, and we put ourselves on the schedule, and we put the things that are important on us to our schedule. Like, how many times have we said, like, oh, well, I've got these 40 million things to do, and then I'll go work out. You know, it's not going to happen. Or, right. You know.
And one of the things that you said earlier was really putting times next to everything, which actually in working with you was huge for me, because I used to be like, all right, one thing I need to get done is write a book. Well, like, obviously I can't write a book in any chunk of time that I have, right? But right. I can research, you know, what we need to eat organic, or, you know, interview somebody whose opinion I want to write, or I could maybe even write some very strategic part of a chapter, mm-hmm. but like, or I could photo shoot 6 recipes, but I can't write a book, right? Like, there's right. no time chunk that's going to allow me to do that. And so what I would find is then all of a sudden, like, a month would pass by and I wouldn't have moved very far, because I'm like waiting to have the time to write a book.
Yeah.
But if you start chunking it, like, and really thinking through those chunks that you have and creating tasks that, you know, really, like, they kind of have to be, you know, I don't even have little babies anymore, but I find if I think through chunks of times that I think will take me a half an hour, which pretty much always means they take an hour.
Right.
Then I start to get momentum.
Exactly. Well, there's actually, and I want to go back to I want to go back to talking about summer schedule, because I think that's really important.
Yep.
But I want to keep going with this too. There's actually research that shows that that's a better way to work. And so it's called the Kanban method, or Pomodoro technique. I'm sure people have heard of it, but it actually started out in Japanese factories. And they found that the factory workers, the workers on the factory floors, were most productive when they worked in 25-minute kind of sprints, and then they got a 5-minute break. And then they did a 25-minute sprint, and they did 4 of those. And then so then every 2 hours, they got a longer break. And so they found that the factory workers were more productive. And so they wondered if they moved it to the white collar workers, if the same system would hold true. And it did. They found that even for their executives, for them, that 25 minutes is a really ideal amount of time for you to focus and get something done. So that's a way that I really focus on anything I have to do. And yeah, something might be a 2-hour project, but if you break it into these 25-minute chunks, okay, for 25 minutes, I'm going to focus on outlining the chapter. And then for 25 minutes, I'm going to brainstorm all my ideas. And then for 25 minutes, I'm going to focus on, you know, whatever it is. And if you go through in these 25-minute chunks, A, you know exactly what you're working on. So then again, if someone wakes up from a nap, if you get a call from the school that your child is sick, if you get an emergency call from a client, like anything, you know, your toilet overflows, like whatever, all of the million things that come up for us, then you know exactly, you're like, oh, I was interrupted while I was outlining the chapter. Yes. So instead of like, oh, I was interrupted while I was writing my entire book. No, I was just interrupted while I was writing these, outlining the chapters. So that's where I need to go back to. So yeah, so I think that's, and like you, and we could talk about, you know, birthday party planning. It's the same thing. You break them down. Like, okay, for the next 25 minutes, I'm going to research online different printable, you know, decorations for the party. Like, then that keeps you from going into like the Pinterest rabbit hole where you've just spent 6 hours, you know, looking at different party decorations. You're also kind of limiting yourself with that 25 minutes too.
Yep. Totally.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm thinking Pinterest is a very yes. easy place to get in for longer than 25 minutes, and probably not, you probably found what you needed to,
exactly.
you know, in the first 15.
Exactly. Well, and I think, and pulling it into like food and meal planning. And I think part of the reason that people don't do it, even when I think about myself, like meal planning is not, of all of the things that I'm good at organizing, meal planning is definitely the bottom of the list. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that comes up for me is I think it's going to take me so long. You know, I think like, okay, I got to sit down and I got to figure out what we already have in the house. And then I got to sit down and figure out what, and then I got to look through recipe books, and then I got to figure out this, and then I got to go to the store. And like, it feels very overwhelming to me, but it's the same process. If we can just break it down into its smallest chunks and then assign those chunks specific times throughout your day or your week, then it becomes really manageable.
Yep.
And yeah.
Well, and not only that, but But I teach the same thing that you teach with planning for CEOs, which is actually to take a 90-day period. And the weekends I treat a little differently because I feel like they're a time to grow, and stretch yourself a little bit more and learn how to cook new things and try new foods and all that kind of stuff. But on the weekdays, you really can say, like, Tuesday is always tacos, Thursday is always soup. And within that, then that's what's so cool, like how you said that you don't have to be a robot. Like within those that structure, I find at least I make so much more variety, because it used to be that like I'd fumble and I'd just get back to that same bean recipe or that same pasta recipe or whatever it is. But if it's actually pasta night, I push myself to like make it a little bit different, but it doesn't cause me to like go down that rabbit hole of 4 hours of like, what should we have for dinner?
Exactly. And I think that applies to, I mean, I think you can
Everything.
just apply, it just applies to everything. It
Yeah.
applies to everything. You decide what your value is. You decide what's important, whether you're planning a birthday party, whether it's about healthy eating, whether it's about your business. And if you decide that at your kid's birthday party, it's really important for you to have a bunch of really fun party games, but that the decorations are less important to you, or making a cake from scratch is less important, then you get to decide, you get to prioritize. Okay, then I'm going to spend time creating the games, and I'm going to, pick up cupcakes from the store, or, like whatever it is. Like you get to decide where you want to put your energy, and then you're in control.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
All right. What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, do you want me to just talk about my summer real quick?
Yes,
Oh
please.
my gosh, the summer, like, because I tried. So this is the, I will fully admit the downside, and I was actually thinking about this morning. The downside of being a planner is that when there's not a plan, it causes me anxiety. Like I am a planner. I like to have a plan. When there's not a plan in place, or when I'm not sure what's going to happen, it causes me a lot of anxiety. And so it's something I'm working on, being able to kind of go with the flow, or especially if I'm not responsible for the plan, then I really just try to let go. But that happened to me, like we were starting to say, a few summers ago, where every week out of the whole summer was different. Kids were at different camps that went to different hours, and some weeks I was trying to save money, so I didn't want to send them to camp all the time. Plus, I wanted to have like a summer vacation with them. Oh my gosh, it just, that summer just about killed me. And so one of the things I realized is that that weekly workflow wasn't going to work for the summer. But I could use the same principles and just do it on a smaller scale. I have a client who shares custody with her, with her ex, and she kind of does the same thing where you have kind of different workflows. If it's, she calls it a kid week or a non-kid week, and so you have different workflows for those different scenarios. And so over the summer, I was able to look at, okay, because I'd done my workflow for a while, I knew what needed to fit into my week. I knew I needed an hour to go grocery shopping. I knew I needed 5 hours to check in with my clients. I knew I needed 2 hours to, write a blog post. Like I knew these chunks of time that I needed in my week, and I could organize them into, the most important things and the things that were the least important. And I kept a list of those on my bulletin board with the times in the order. Like these are the things that have to happen every week, no matter what. These are the things that can get dropped off if I don't have time. And then each week usually on Sunday afternoon, while the kids were just kind of playing, hanging around, then I would sit down and I would look at that week ahead. And sometimes I would do it a couple weeks out, depending on what it was, but I would look at that week ahead and I would say, okay, this is a week where the kids are in camp, from 9 to 3, Monday through Friday. So I'm really going to be able to get a lot of these chunks in. And then I would create my week plan for that week. And then like maybe the next week would roll around. It's like, okay, this is a kid week. So we've got plans. We're going to go to the beach on Tuesday. We're going to do this on Thursday. So not as much stuff is going to happen. And the things that have to happen, okay, I'm going to get up early on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm going to plan a play date with them, with another kid for Wednesday afternoon. I was able to kind of think through each week and again, focus on those values. And if it was a quote unquote non-kid week, then I would really focus on work, and I would focus on work guilt-free because I knew that there was a kid-focused week coming up.
Yeah.
And again, don't always do it perfect, but it really helps to just know, okay, this is what needs to fit into this week, and this is what can get pushed out to the side for this week.
Yep. Yep. And if it's funny you say that, because summer is actually, they can be frustrating, but they can also be such an opportunity to have those chunks of time, whether they be kid focused or work focused. And last summer, I realized that I was going to have, all three of my kids were going to be in grade school for lunch. So before that, I had some home for lunch and some at school for lunch. But two of my children have pretty bad food allergies, so I realized there was going to be a lot more meal, like lunch packing, and I was like nervous that nobody was going to eat the lunches or whatever. So I actually used chunks during the summer to like help my kids be not as picky eating, which you can do when you have attention. And then on the flip side of that, it was also when I got the idea for my book, and I asked for help, and so I actually got the kids like went to my mom's for like a full 7 days, which never would happen during the school year. You know what I mean? And I actually had this like whole expanse of time to like work and take care of myself. And so I feel like there's amazing opportunities if you plan for them, and sort of know what your values are that you want to accomplish during that time.
Well, and what I've really found too, and again, it's as my kids get a little bit older, and what I found when, so I started my online business when my youngest daughter was about 4 months old. So she was pretty young, definitely, and my son was three. So we were definitely still in that baby stage. And at that point, you have to do things in 15-minute increments. You have to like jam things in when you have a few minutes. But what I've realized is that as my kids get older, is that I can rationalize with them a little more. And I can say, like, this is what's happening this day. This is, you're going to camp this day, or you're going to a friend's house this day. And then tomorrow we're going to the beach. Or, this morning you're gonna do, you guys need to entertain yourself. I've got two phone calls that I need to do. And then this afternoon we're gonna do this. So you're able to, like, it's that same calendaring thing, and you're able to kind of balance it out. And even I think if your kids, even if your kids don't understand, it takes that mommy guilt edge off of it. If you know, like, yes, my baby is entertaining herself on her blanket on the floor, and I'm gonna do this thing, and I'm gonna focus on it and get it done, and then I'm gonna close my computer and I'm gonna move to this thing, or whatever it is.
Well, and to alleviate any mama guilt with the older ones who understand, I mean, what an amazing tool to teach your kids, right? Like this whole idea of like planning and balance and that they can do this too. And, like what better thing to teach them that they can do anything, including be with their kids and work at the same time.
Absolutely. And I try to really talk to my kids about that too, and just explain why it's important to me, explain that it's fulfilling to me, and that this is something that's important to me, because I think that's really important to model for our kids, especially as moms, to try to not model that kind of martyr behavior, or that, that, like, that you're 100% there for your kids. And also because I feel like sometimes kids can interpret that as, that they're, how do I want to say this? That they're kind of the reason you're not happy, or that you're not fulfilled. I think I got a little bit of that message growing up. And so I really try to make a point of this is important to me. What I'm doing now is really, whether it's going to visit a girlfriend, whether it's going on a date night with my husband, whether it's working, whether it's going to Pilates class, whether it's sitting on Facebook for 20 minutes because I need a break. Like, I try to explain that this is what fills me up, so that then I have time and attention and energy and money and all of those other things to spend on my kids.
Yeah, totally. I love that. All right, so I'm noticing that we've totally gone over, but I'm hoping everybody has had like there's just so much to take from this that like I love little actions that one can take and decide to pick one for this week and just go with it. And I feel like we have so many of those. So before I go into my final questions, one, I want to make sure you have nothing more you want to share about this idea of planning. And two, I want you to share how people can get in touch with you, what the best way for people to get in touch with you is.
Absolutely. And we didn't get to dive too much into the Post-it note planning,
Yeah, I know.
but we'll, next time I'll come back.
Sounds perfect. And you have stuff about that, right? Like
Yeah,
there's so
absolutely.
many resources if you go to her site on that.
Yeah. And so
Her
my website is meganflatt.com. Really easy, flat with two T's, and we'll link that up. And you can definitely email me, megan@meganflatt.com, or find me, Megan Flatt, on all the various social media channels. So if you have any questions or you want to get support or feedback or ideas, whether you're a business owner or not, please, please reach out. I would love to chat with you about that.
Yeah, maybe you'll be a future business owner after
exactly.
After being in touch with Megan. So the final question that I ask everybody is to tell us about one meal that could have happened like yesterday, or it could have happened in your childhood, that really made an impact on you. And it could be about the food you ate or the company you shared or some major aha that you had at the table. But I just find that food memories are so powerful, and tell us, you know, let us get to know each other very well.
Oh, I just think, I'm not sure I can narrow it down to one exact one. And I think it's because all of my favorite food memories involve family and community, you know, and just those experiences where I was thinking, like, my mom, we always got to pick whatever meal we wanted for our birthdays. And I would always pick tacos. That was always, and so our family does this weird thing, and my husband totally teases my whole family about this, is that we put raisins in our taco meat. And so it's such a funny thing, but it's become like this meal of tacos has become, not only was it my birthday meal every year, but then it's become this like funny joke, with my husband, and he teases my dad about it. And then the other night, my, you know, 7.5-year-old, my maiden name is Brady. And so he says, he's sitting at the table, and I had made like these stir fried Brussels sprouts, and I had put raisins in them, and almonds and raisins. And he sits down and he looks at the plate, and he looks at me and goes, "Oh, you Fradies," which is exactly what my husband says, whatever, you know. So I just, but even beyond that, I was thinking of all these different meals, and I was thinking of, you know, all these times that you just have friends over, and you just, and now that we all have kids, and kids are running around, and we're eating, and just, it's such an amazing opportunity to just come together. And my husband and I, we really, really try to be good about doing date nights, and our date nights almost always involve going out to dinner. Because A, we love food, and we live in the San Francisco Bay Area. We love getting to try restaurants, but also it's just this chance to sit across the table from each other, and there's not a movie going on, there's not music, there's not other things happening. It's just our chance to connect and to talk and to catch up. And I love that food does that for us, that it brings big groups together, it brings small groups together, it creates these funny little memories. The fact that this is how you end your podcast is so telling of the role that food plays in our lives.
Yeah. Well, and I think it allows you to remember things that you don't, because food has such strong, like, I feel like it has such a strong connection to memory. Mm-hmm. That it allows you to remember things over meals that you might not remember if they happened, you know.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Today. Oh, exactly. I mean, think about vacations, or think about trips that you took, and it's like, oh, remember when we, you know, I remember in college when I went to Italy, and we were just, my, you know, college roommate and I were eating wine and cheese and bread in the square in Siena. It's like, yeah, you remember these things as they're tied to the food you ate.
Love it. And just so you know, you have to tell your husband this, that you're on the cutting edge of how to get rid of sugar. Because what I recommend to people to get rid of sugar is to add raisins or dates instead.
See?
So it's just like, but to your head is the problem.
But add raisins to your taco meat, is that weird? I think it is kind of weird, but it's just something that I don't know where it came from, and that's what we do in my family, and it's good.
Well, almost all like restaurants and recipes call for sort of some sugar or sweetener, because we like that idea of like sweet and salty.
Right.
It makes a lot of good dishes. So I have to say, I was never a fan. Like, my mother always put raisins in things, and I didn't think I liked that idea of sweet and savory. But as I've gotten more into food and understand what makes up good food, I would like blend my raisins now. But to use the sweet for that, it's amazing. It's a great tool. So, yeah, love it. All right, busy mamas. I hope you got a lot out of this episode. And I thank you so much, Megan, for being here.
And yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
It was really good. And I will see the rest of you on the next episode of Plan Simple Meals. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.